Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 18 through 25. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. In this passage, the Apostle Paul speaks of God, a supreme being who does exist, who can be known, and who should be reverenced. There is a severe condemnation against those who refuse to believe in and worship God. The existence of a supreme being is a most profound matter. The truth on that subject lies at the foundation of all of man's beliefs, his purpose for existing, his duty toward others as well as toward God, his salvation, his origin, his destiny. The answer determines not only man's temporal but his eternal happiness, but it sets the standards also for the welfare of the human race, now and forever. Regardless of what one might think of the Bible, man is incurably religious. There exist no people who are not religious in nature. Everywhere the human family has been found, they are worshiping creatures. Constantly the human looks toward a supreme being. Mankind strives to be as that which is worshipped, and like that which is worshipped, and wants to be as the one worshipped. What one thinks of his God, even if he has gods of his own making, is going to be a basic determining factor on what he will be and wants to be and thinks he ought to be. Even those who deny that there is a supreme being have erected in their own minds that which is their governing standard and measure. Christians believe in the God of heaven as revealed in the Bible. The evidence sustains the claim that Jehovah God is the only true and living God. Sometimes we are asked, can you prove the existence of God? And the answer is assuredly, yes. His existence is proved by the same process that many other things are proved, namely, by the evidence. Now, we may not be able to convince everyone that God exists, and we will not likely convince those who are determined to disbelieve regardless of the evidence. But we learned a long time ago that there is a difference between proving a thing to be true and convincing some people to accept the truth. Yes, there is evidence to prove that God exists that cannot be refuted, even though many efforts to refute him have been attempted. But our lesson wants to focus on this matter in a way that is somewhat different from the usual approaches to proving the existence of God. We want to consider the question, if God does not exist, what are the alternatives open to man to accept? One either believes in God or he does not. What options does an unbeliever have? Now, the atheist flatly denies that God exists. He asserts with great confidence there is no God. And we can with confidence blindly accept his assertion? What does the atheist have to offer mankind? Friend, to believe there is no God does not demonstrate that there is no God. Until one can prove that there is no God, there's always the possibility the unbeliever is mistaken. In order to provide proof, One would have to be everywhere at the same time, know everything, have all power. Indeed, he would have to be the very being he denies exists, lest he might have overlooked something somewhere. To simply not see God with a physical eye does not disprove his existence. We all readily accept the reality of many things that we cannot see. We do not see radio beams or germs in the air or even distant places that we've never visited. The blind man does not see the sun, but does that mean there is no sun? The deaf hear no sounds, but is sound non-existent? We all know the answers to such questions as that. But someone complains that there is evidence that such things as those do exist. Dear listening friend, that is exactly the reason we can know that God exists. We see the evidence. Psalm 19, verse 1 declares, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork." Consider the immense size of our universe. Consider the precision of it, the design, the seasons, the rotations, the interworking of so many systems that are interdependent one upon another for existence. Consider the reality of the existence of the mind that certainly cannot be produced from mere matter. All these things indicate a designer, a mind, an intelligence, a power that surpasses anything man can fully contemplate. There is no evidence for the doctrine of atheism, but the abundance of evidence for the existence of God is all around us. If one saw footprints of a man across the sand, he has evidence that a man was once there. I suggest to you, dear friend, that God's footprints are everywhere. Atheism can offer man no reason for existence, no reason for purpose or origin or destiny. Only the grave, no hope, but utter and ultimate nothingness. Who can consider our world for long and believe it amounts to naught? The atheist may turn a bit from his outright denial of the existence of God to another position called agnosticism, a position of doubt, where one admits he really does not know one way or another whether God exists. But in reality, there is little difference between the agnostic and the atheist. Neither acknowledges the reality of the existence of God. Both must turn away from the evidence in our world, as we have mentioned. They must assume that because they do not know something, that nobody else can know either. And while admitting that they do not know, everyone must admit that there is much concerning God that we, the limited, finite creatures, do not know of him. But one does not have to know everything to know something, and that is for sure. I may not know all the matters involved in the operation of an automobile, but there are some things that I can know, and I can take advantage of the benefits even of that of which I know nothing. Men have not yet learned all there is to know about electricity, about atoms, or about any number of things. But there are some things they can know, and they can know them for certain. Like the atheist, whose position would mean there is no authority, no standard, no ought not, the agnostic position would make civilization impossible if it were actually applied. There would be no laws, no rules, no obligations, nothing. Surely we can see that any belief that destroys everything and builds nothing is of not much advantage and offers no promise to the human family. The atheist, the agnostic, might turn slightly and become what is called a materialist. Now, a materialist believes that even spiritual matters are the result of material circumstances. Matter is eternal to them, and the spirit world, which they do not totally deny exists, some way, somehow, sometime, was produced from spiritless, mindless, dead matter. Who can believe it? The philosophy that life springs from non-life has never and can never be demonstrated. Such has never occurred. Science has proven that matter is not eternal in nature. It had a beginning. From whence came matter? Mind cannot come from matter. matter has not always existed. It is easy to see that matter was produced by mind, not mindlessness. There is explanation for the existence of the intellect and thought, but not in the materialistic philosophy. The entire theory stands or falls on the origin of life, and materialists have no observable, provable, demonstrable answer. Their explanation, if you want to call it that, is fantastic, and it rings somewhat after this order. Matter existed, which science has disproved, and materialists cannot explain from which it came, but they say matter existed, and this matter exploded. And out of that explosion, all things have gradually developed and evolved, even life itself and all forms of life, even though we cannot show and do not know how it could come to pass. People usually recognize a fantastic and absurd tale when they hear one, and nothing is more of that description than the so-called explanation of the materialist and the evolutionist regarding the origin and development of things, including life itself. And what if they are right? What does that do to man except reduce him to nothing more than just an animal like the other beast of the field? Even if the materialist is right that mind sprang from matter, he has no evidence concerning the origin of matter, which is not of eternal nature itself. In spite of all the claims and the assertions concerning what is called the fact of evolution, there is no evidence to prove it. And the truth is, what evidence we do have that's supposed to be on the side of evolution as often as not contradicts the evolutionary hypothesis. There is no greater lie being perpetrated in this country than that which says evolution is a proven fact. Believers in God and the Bible need have no fear, nor submit to the attempted intimidation by the alleged scholars who would deny the reality of God and the biblical accounts of origins. Materialists have enlisted the bandwagon syndrome to sustain their cause. They would create the impression that anybody that knows anything accepts what they affirm. According to their line of so-called reasoning, if you do not agree with them, then you are terribly inferior, and you are contending against the majority thought of the day, to which we respond, so what? Where is there evidence that the majority is right? Why should we follow some blind path simply because a lot of self-acclaimed experts who have neither proof nor sufficient evidence to uphold their claim, why should we follow what they say? Scripture says, "The fool saith in his heart, there is no God," Psalm 14, verse 1. Friend, you can follow a fool if you want, but at least be fair enough to yourself to admit that's what you are following, and that's what you are doing. And when you reap the fool's reward, do not blame anybody but yourself. The bottom line of the doctrines that would eliminate the existence of God is simply a system for every man for himself. No law, no authority, do your own thing, no right, no wrong, no ought not. Everything is beautiful in its own way. We're here for no reason. Having come into existence by chance and random, we're going nowhere. And life and all the world around us amounts to nothing, is for nothing, and the best that we can say of ourselves is that we're highly developed animals. Just how is this supposed to provide a foundation for human rights, or the dignity of man, or respect for human life, and uplift mankind and make a better world? Why, it cannot. It only destroys. It doesn't build up anything. But the faith and the contention of the Christian offers a better way, the more excellent way. In philosophy, there is the consideration of things and the effect of things. There must be evidence to prove cause and effect. The Bible and nature both provide evidence that God is the ultimate cause. Science is classified knowledge, gained and verified by observation and demonstration. The only verified knowledge we have, that which can be observed and demonstrated, agrees with contention of the existence of God, Friend, there is not one scientific fact that anyone must deny in order to believe in the reality of God and what the Bible says and teaches. Evolutionists cannot make that claim for their doctrine. Faith is not just a leap in the dark or a pious wish for things to be as we want them to be. Faith is based on evidence, and God has provided evidence for our convictions, including the existence of God. This evidence is seen in our world, the very world He made, and in His Word, the very Word of which He is the author. Without God, nothing can be explained. And with Him, all things not only have an explanation, but a meaning. We are creatures of choice. We can be atheist, we can be agnostics, we can be materialist if we choose. But we can show ourselves wise rather than foolish, and choose to be a Christian. When a man will be objective, when he will be fair and honest with the evidence, and be sincere, and will consider the evidence before him that is available, he will believe in God. He'll believe the Bible. He'll believe in God as our Creator, as our Sustainer, as our Lord, and as our Judge. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.